The Mom Hour is brought to you by the Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 136 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers here with the lovely Megan Francis. Happy New Year, Megan.
Happy New Year to you.
2018. What Crazy. The heck? Oh, my gosh.
What happened?
Where have we been? This is going to be just a little bit of a reflection and a looking ahead, just kind of a free-flowing conversation. Since we are here in the first week of the new year. This is going to be fun. We're going to look back a little bit at 2017, and use that as kind of a jumping off point for talking about the new year, both personally, yeah, professionally, et cetera.
Love doing this kind of stuff. This will be fun.
It is fun. It is fun. And I don't think we did an episode like this last year. So this is, yeah, we haven't had like a proper new year
conversation look back
yes. in a while.
Sarah, we both know this time of year can be crazy. So this is a great time to get ahead with no prep, no mess meals from our sponsor, Factor. I love how these meals are ready to eat and delivered right to your door. I mean, you can't beat that convenience, but most importantly, they're seriously delicious.
Yeah, Megan, I agree. Our whole family was impressed with the quality and flavor of Factor meals we tried. And it turned out to be a great option for my teenagers when they got home late from a theater practice or came home from school super hungry. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Factor meals just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and for any listeners with wellness goals this month, Factor has 6 menu preferences to support your lifestyle. Whether you're trying to boost your protein, avoiding meat, or simply focusing on well-balanced meals. And you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality, they last forever, and I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa Slip-On Flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa Slip-On Flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Are you ready to kick this off? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it. Let's.
So are we going to like, do you want to do, what we're going to do is look at our year month by month and just talked about the things that we did. So I could do all of my year first.
Or yeah, I think you should do all of your year, but let me set up where I got this idea because I'm going to give a couple shout outs. So I was listening to the Girl Next Door podcast, which is good friends of ours, Kelsey and Erica. And they did this sort of a look back and they're very intentional. They're both like, they both love goal setting. And so they actually do this every year. And I think even mid-year they check in on their goals and it's really cool. So if you like that kind of stuff, you'll love their podcast. But I just listened to their year end 2017 and I thought it was really cool to do a very quick
recap of the year, and they did both personally and professionally, but they went relatively fast. Like, okay, in January, you know, I had this trip. And then related, I stumbled across an article on Gretchen Rubin's website that linked out to a New York Times piece that I will link to. And it talked about strategically why looking back at the year that just passed is actually really helpful in kind of creating your intentions for the new year. And I have to say, it sounds so simple, but I don't think I really thought about it that way. And I often have a hard time with goal setting and intention setting for the new year because I am a more concrete and to be honest, I'm a more past. I tend to focus on the past and the things that I can, you know, touch and feel and see. So future is hard for me. So I feel like for me, this is really helpful to look back at the year and just sort of like what happened. And then, of course, the next step is, do I want more of this in the next year? Do I want less of it? What was great about that? So I think it's just a natural jumping off point. And I thought it was really cool. So shout out to The Girl Next Door and Gretchen Rubin. I'll link to all of those things I just mentioned in our show notes so you guys can
Well,
do
you
the
know,
same.
You know that I love big picture thinking.
Yes, you do.
And one thing sometimes when you are a big picture thinker and always looking forward like I am, it's really easy to forget how much stuff you've done.
Yes.
And to kind of underestimate how much you've done. And just like last week or the week before, Sarah, we were trying to figure out when we had filed one of our agreements or something with each other. And we started kind of going back and realizing how much we have done and accomplished in a very short time. And I was really amazed. Like in my mind, that had taken like 2 years.
Yeah.
And the truth was it had happened in a relatively really short time.
Well,
so a lot
in particular with our business, everything that happened pretty much from June forward. So we really, we forgot how far we came in the first, like how, what actually really happened if you go back all the way to December, January of last year, how far we've come. Because it seemed like a year's worth of stuff happened from July forward. So like,
exactly. It does. Yeah. Well, and some of that, and I tell people all the time that like a lot of then what you're doing when you're not taking action is you're creating space for action. You're doing the thinking that has to happen before action can happen. So, you know, it's like that old adage, that something that seems like an overnight success but took a lifetime. Like really is like that. You're thinking, you're having the ideas, you're putting in the groundwork, but you're not actually doing anything. And then all of a sudden, everything seems to happen in like one big flood. So I guess I'll just go through my year. I'm literally looking at my calendar right now. And it's kind of funny because some of the things on my calendar are things like electric bill, internet install. So it's not all mind blowing. I'm just going to pick one thing from each month and talk about it. Okay, so last January. Excuse me. Last January, my sister and I, Catherine, went to Minneapolis to visit my brother, and we stayed downtown Minneapolis. And I lived in Minneapolis when I was a young mom.
Okay.
When Jacob was about, let's see. Well, I lived there for a short time when Jacob was 2 and Isaac was a little baby, like 6 weeks old to like a year.
Okay.
And then I lived there again when Isaac was like 2 and Jacob was like 4.
Okay.
And it's shorter time the following time, but I've been to Minneapolis. My brother lives there, so I've been there since then, but I hadn't spent time in the neighborhoods where I lived when I had little kids. Mm-hmm. And that was like really kind of cool. I forgot how much time had gone by and how much older I am. And it was just interesting to go and see the places that I lived and kind of what I thought my life might turn out like then. And, you know, just there was a lot of bittersweetness to it, but it was really good. It was a really good visit. I'm glad I went. And actually, it's interesting to go to Minneapolis in January.
Yeah. I've actually been to Minneapolis 3 times, and it was May, July, and September, and it's been beautiful. So in my mind,
bitter cold.
That's, I'm sure.
My sister wore her bib overalls, her bib snow pan overalls the entire time.
Oh my gosh. There.
Like she never took them off. We went to bars and she wore them in the bars. It was hilarious. But they kind of just allow that sort of thing there. So that was January. January was, I feel like, kind of like a ramp up month. Then February was Alt Summit, where I spoke and I came and visited you. And
yes,
we did kind
did.
Of like a summit.
Yeah.
So that was early February.
Yeah. You brought Clara. So that was.
I brought Clara.
Yeah. That was really fun.
It was really fun. And she got to go, you know, take pictures on the beach. And we got to go to brunch. And
you got to meet Katie.
Was it Laguna?
We were in
Laguna. We met Katie. But also that was great because I feel like that was when we did a lot of the conversation, had a lot of the conversations that led to us nailing down some stuff.
Yeah,
it was
a nice follow up because we did our Denver really like retreat December of 2016. So it was nice. Sometimes you and I go like 6 months without seeing each other in person, and we had a really good track record this year. So it was a nice like maybe 2 months after our Denver meetup to just continue the conversation. And it was really fun to have our kids together.
It was really, really fun. Let's see. March looks like it was just a lot of work and parenting, but I was in a play. That was toward the end of the month. I was in a musical called Spring Awakening.
And that was like a big one.
That was a big one. And that took, you know, so that that went up like the end of March. And so that kind of ate up like a week of my life in March. I had a relatively small part. So up until then, my rehearsal schedule was really easy. And then it was like that last week was just insane.
Right.
But great experience. Really, really fun. Moving on to April. April, it just kind of looks like I didn't do anything. How is that possible?
That's not true.
Isaac went to prom in April. It just, you know what I'm noticing looking at April, I had so much stuff on my calendar, but it's all little stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lunch here, a meeting there.
Yeah.
So much like details. That was my month of details. Oh my goodness. I'm like, now I'm realizing there's like a six. I'm looking at one thing and it says six more. So I click on it to see six more. And I was doing a lot of yoga that month. Interesting. A lot of yoga classes on here. Nice. Okay. I think that was actually also the month that I signed up for a membership to the yoga studio that I love so much.
Interesting.
May was Mom 2.0.
Yes, it was. Orlando.
So on my calendar, it says stay at the Ritz-Carlton Orlando, which is so always good. A fun thing to see looking back.
Oh, yeah.
So great. That I feel was like almost like another little mini summit for us, even though we were busy conferencing.
Yeah.
We were also really productive and we got a lot of decisions hammered out.
Yes.
And again, May, so many calls. See, again, things didn't really take off until June, but I have meeting after meeting after call after call. Like we were really building the groundwork in May.
And our podcast, the growth of our podcast and our work with sponsors really started to heat up in the spring.
Yeah,
I remember a rush for Mother's Day, you know, working with brands around Mother's Day and feeling like, okay, we are, this is legit.
Yep. I was also, I directed Guys and Dolls, like a kids version, version of Guys and Dolls. The auditions were that month, so that I would have been in rehearsals all that month.
Yeah.
And then I was also performed in an 80s cabaret that month, like an 80s concert. That was really fun too. June, oh my gosh, my June calendar looks insane. Like it is all meetings. It is all like I think in June I was just like scheduling out every hour of my day.
Interesting.
So it looks crazy. And I don't know if that was because I just was trying to structure my days more and maybe adding more stuff to the calendar just to keep myself on a flow. Now at the time I was not employed outside the house.
Right. You were freelancing. Yeah.
Freelancing and self-employed. I was at the radio, but like all of these things might have just been me reminding myself of things that I had to do.
So maybe you wanted to get more structured about your
time. Interesting. Man, this is like June is crazy. Like so many little items. But it does look like a lot of things that sometimes I wouldn't really put on my calendar that I was putting on just to kind of keep myself on track. So that's interesting.
Interesting.
July, I turned 40.
Yeah, you did.
I have three camping trips on my calendar in July, which is awesome. I really made a point of doing a lot of camping over the summer, and July was like my month. But you were here and you came to visit me over my birthday, and that was fantastic. And that was a big weekend. Like you were here, what, 3 days?
Yeah. Just two nights though. Yeah. It was quick. In my mind, it was quick because it's a long way to go. But you had, there was like a night before I got there and it was an extended celebration.
Yeah. That was a fun month. It was pretty relaxing. I got to do a lot of stuff I really wanted to do. August, I started my new job.
Yes. So I couldn't have even told you when that was, like, as I was thinking about this. So that's a big life change.
Yeah. It was in the middle of my month. So that was basically what I did. And then actually the following week I came and visited you.
Yeah.
The following week was podcast movement and we did our live event. So I can see that I was in Anaheim the following week. But yeah, I did start my job and that really did change a lot about what I was doing. That's also when I started using my work calendar primarily for a lot of stuff, just so I wouldn't have to switch back and forth because the privacy settings are weird. If I try to put stuff on my work calendar, I can't see it on my personal calendar. So I just see a lot of busy.
Yeah.
But I was busy.
Yes.
And also like trying to figure out a way to like blend the two things, like the podcasting and then figuring out a way to make the radio still work and still, you know, do stuff with the kids and all that. It was a pretty busy month. Let's see, September, man, just more busy. I was in a wedding in September.
Oh yeah.
But other than that, I think that was that month was like basically all about work. Oh, and I did Pecha Kucha.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
in the that Pecha Kucha
tell like people what that is if they're not, because so I called it Machu Picchu one time.
Yeah, you're like Machu Picchu. So Pecha Kucha is I want to call it like almost like a TED Talk situation in that it's very structured, but you get up and you give a presentation and you have 6 minutes and 40 seconds. I think you have 20 slides, 20 seconds per slide, and the slides automatically advance.
So you don't, so there's no wiggle room.
There's no wiggle room. If you are not done talking, the slide advances and you just have to figure it out. And I had thought I was going to need all these notes. And then when I got there, we did it outdoors. It was like, it was projected on this enormous screen on the outside of this brewery. And I realized I wouldn't even be able to see my notes.
Oh my god!
And I knew the notes would make me self-conscious. Like, I'm really bad if I have a script of any kind. All I can do is fixate on the script. I knew I would do better if I just went for it. And I had rehearsed enough. It was okay. It was actually really, really fun and very funny. I should see if I can dig it up. I know it exists someplace online. It was about online dating. And it was really funny. And people really enjoyed it. I got a lot of laughs.
Yeah. So, didn't people say, weren't people telling you that you won, even though it wasn't a contest?
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of people told me I won. And I did have a little bit of language in it. So just so you know, it's not, you know, if we can find the link, it's not 100%
kid safe.
Kid safe. In fact, I was complained that someone complained about me.
Oh.
To the brewery, which I think is interesting because it was at a brewery and it was clearly an adult event, but someone complained about my language and my adult content, which I mean, it's not terrible language. No. It's like, I think I let one word slip. So anyway, just be warned.
That's funny.
Looking at October, oh my gosh, how have I been alive this whole time?
I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure that you are. Like, maybe there's two of you.
I want to take a screenshot of my October calendar and just send it to you so you can laugh at me. I mean, there's not even really any events. It's not like there's anything I can point to and be like, this is what I did in October. All I did was all of it.
All of
I just did all that stuff. Oh my gosh. So much. So like so many meetings, and I'm obviously have meeting after meeting after meeting. It just says busy, 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 busy.
Oh my gosh.
Moving on. That's like actually giving me a little like post-traumatic stress just looking at that. November. I was in a play. In December, but November was really when rehearsals started kind of heating up, like toward the end. So I think I just spent a lot of time doing that. There's nothing on there that's all that exciting. I did go up to Traverse City with some friends, but mostly just work. Man, that I started to get really burned out in November. October and November were big burnout months for me where I started questioning, like, can I still do radio? Can I still do any of this? Should I even still be here? And now looking, like, it's so funny how I didn't see how slowly my calendar was just creeping up.
Because there's that delay that, you know, like something that's new and fills up your calendar can feel like a rush at first.
Yeah,
and
you
then
power
it becomes
through, you're
normal.
Like, oh, I'm on top. Yep.
So it is. It makes sense that there's like a 60 to 90 day delay in. I felt that with our business a little bit this year. Like, sure, we can launch 4 podcasts in 2 months and then we do it. And it's even fine at the beginning. And then like 3 months after that, it's like, whoa.
And don't you feel like in November we were putting out little fires all the time?
Yeah.
Like work was super busy for me. And then our business was super busy. So there was just so much going on.
And kind of like in a way that felt like things were going wrong all the time, just for a little while, to be really honest. Yeah,
it did feel like things were going really wrong. And I think it was more in reality. I think it was more just normal stuff that we both of us were so busy.
Yeah.
It was just like,
there's no room. Like you said, I think you said in an episode recently, like when we talked about our struggles and our successes in a few weeks ago, you said like you hadn't left any room for like getting sick or a family emergency. And then when those things happen, it's like, no, there is no time for this. Like everything, I only have enough room for exactly everything that's on my calendar, which is really not a sustainable way to live.
It's not sustainable.
And, we're not recommending that.
I have talked before about how sometimes it takes my life blowing up for me to understand that my life is not sustainable. And I really try not to beat myself up for that. What I really try to do is then find a solution, because I think that happens. And I tend toward wanting to keep my plate pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have to push it a little too far.
Yeah.
And then go, whoops, nope, I went too far. I can't do this. And then I course correct. And as long as I don't get stuck in that sort of martyrdom of being like, oh, I can't, there's nothing I can do. And start having solutions. So I want to talk a little bit about December, because December has been a doozy.
Yep.
December started off well. I was in rehearsals for the play. I was in Tech Week. Mm-hmm. The play was going to go up on the 7th, which is a Thursday. On the 6th, which is a Wednesday. Now, by the way, I had already been feeling very stressed about having to get up. You know, now we're 3 months in or 4 months into the new job. Like, I'm doing radio every day and doing my other, going straight from radio to my other job. And also stuff had really blown up with the podcast network at the same time. And you're great about taking over when I'm at work. But like, sometimes there was just stuff we both had to weigh in on, and I would have to figure out a way to take care of it on my lunch or whatever. And I had just kind of started figuring, like, putting into place some ideas for taking back some of that time, being better about self-care. I had just started this like low carb diet, like things were going pretty well. And my sister had, Catherine has had an aneurysm in her brain burst. So we didn't know if she was going to live. I mean, it was crazy.
So I had super sudden, obviously.
We had no idea. Yeah. It just happened. And my sister is like one of the people I'm the most close to in the world. And it was terrifying. And so that was like, here I am getting ready to walk out the door to go to a dress rehearsal, and I have to get in my car and drive 2 hours away to go see her in the hospital. And she has surgery that night. It was crazy. And then to just flash forward, so no one's like sitting on the edge of their seat, she is okay. She'll be in the hospital for a while, and it's going to be a long, I mean, it's going to be a long road to recovery, but she's alive, and it's, you know, and her prognosis is good. Really good. They're actually really surprised with how well she is cognitively and all that stuff. So that's great. But so much stress happening in the middle of a week where it should have been fun. Like, this play I was in was really relaxed. The rehearsal schedule was easy. My part was easy. Like, it should have just been fun. And it became this big stressor because I knew I had no one to replace me. Yeah. And
you had no one. I remember texting you like,
do you have an understudy? I said, no, I don't have an understudy. It worked out fine because I came back into the show and then went back and visited her. I mean, it was still really tiring, but I was able to kind of balance both. And then the following week, the following week I got divorced. So that's great. I mean, it's like,
for brand new listeners, you have been in the process of being divorced. Your divorce became final.
Sorry,
for
yes,
people
you're right.
who have no idea who you are, what's
I didn't
what's
like
happening.
Separate that day. Yeah. It had been more than a year in the making. It just took forever, just for no real reason, except things just move really slowly. And we weren't in a super big hurry, and it started to drag on, but by that point, like, there was no real reason to make it go any faster. And so it just took as long as it took.
Yeah.
And I had thought the 11th was going to be the date that it went all through. That was the date I had been fixated on for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And in my head, it was like, if I could just get past that day. And then not even, I was out of town visiting my sister that day, but because, I don't know, the judge had something else more important they had to do, it got moved to the 15th. And that really, like, really threw me off. Like,
Okay,
that's not the date I had in mind, you know? Now I have to live 4 more days wondering if my life is going to blow up and explode.
Yeah.
It didn't. I didn't die. Nothing blew up. And we're actually recording this exactly a week later, and I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of relieved now.
Yeah.
And I'm going into a vacation time. So we're actually recording this before the holidays really kicking off.
Right.
But I really hope nothing more happens that I would have
in
to
December.
Do a retrospective
let's just,
about.
Let's December. Just call December.
Let's just call it.
Over except
we have
for
10
Christmas.
Days until this one goes live. Yeah. Can we just make it like nothing happens?
That would be
fantastic.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
Whew. So I don't know. I hope I didn't go too long there.
No.
But I think
I love it.
I think I'll just cap like maybe cap what I've learned looking back over this is just like I've always known about myself, but sometimes I have to really take a look back to really accept. My life goes through huge ebbs and flows. There is no such thing as a balanced day. There's rarely such a thing as a balanced week, but usually a year is pretty balanced. I will have a couple of months, like, for example, December, despite all the craziness happening with my sister, work related, like at work, has been really laid back.
Yeah.
So I get breaks where I can, and I take them where I can. And I also, after having that insane month in October and November where I just started to feel so demoralized, I did go back to the radio people and it was just like, I can't do this anymore. We have to figure something out. If you want me to stay on, we have to figure something out. And now we have a new arrangement where I'm recording more episodes ahead of time, or more, you know, days ahead of time, and don't have to get up early a few days a week. And I think we're going to be able to make it work. And if it doesn't, I will have no hesitation going back. It's like, okay, this isn't working. We have to do something else. So I think just trying to look at, you know, just trying to realize that my life isn't always as crazy as a couple crazy weeks might make it feel.
Right.
and that there have been other opportunities in there for breaks and rest and all those things. But the thing that the other thing I am really learning is what I did let go of in the times when things got crazy were the things that sustained me. Like I really stopped exercising. Yeah. I stopped going to yoga. And those are the things that make me feel like I can get through those crazy times. And when I stop, that's like a perfect storm. If I stop doing those things and then just allow stress and other stuff to like load up, it's no good.
Yeah.
No good.
Well, I also know in listening to you, I mean, obviously most of the work stuff, you and I talk 1,000 times a day. So like none of this was like news to me, but the thing that stood out in listening to you was how much you performed. When you think about all of your plays and the Pecha Kucha, and if you count speaking at conferences, like that is interesting. So I'm curious if that felt like the right amount of performing, like if that falls into the column of things that sustain you and keep you going, or if it added more stress than it brought joy.
They are both.
Yeah.
I will say one thing I have learned is I don't think I'll ever do another play that I'm not 100% wanting to do.
Yeah.
In the case of one that I did, and I won't name it, I did it for reasons outside of really being super thrilled with the material. It was more like it fit, it was kind of convenient. There was a part I knew I could pretty easily get. I thought the rehearsal schedule wouldn't be too hard. Some family members were involved, blah blah blah. And that was probably the most stressful one, even though it was the easiest.
Yeah. Because your heart wasn't in it.
My heart wasn't in it. Yeah. And so to me, something like that has to be super worth it. Yeah. Pecha Kucha was a momentary stressor. That was like that day I freaked out because I couldn't read my, you know, I kind of thrive on that kind
but
of.
But still, you were on stage or on display more than I thought you, like, I always know you.
No,
always have
I know.
A play
I was
going,
looking back
listening
that,
to it.
Too.
I'm like, wow, you are always rehearsing or performing for something.
I am. But I also was looking at that. It's interesting you say that because when I was looking at it, I feel like for the last year, all I've been doing is theater and stuff. But when I looked back, there were like large sections of time where I wasn't. And I'm kind of like, what was I doing during that time? What was I up to? I don't really remember how I was spending my evenings.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think I was just outside more. And that was when I was like hiking and camping a lot. And stuff. So again, like there's no such thing as having pure day-to-day balance or being super well-rounded all of the time. I think it's just making sure anything I decide to sign on for now is something I really want to do. Because even with as much as I work and even with, you know, being like a single mom, I have time.
Yeah.
And if it's something that, especially because I don't have my kids 3 nights a week, so I have time to spend and I would rather use it. I'm not someone who's happy sitting around watching TV. I'm not. And so I'd rather use it spending, doing something I really enjoy or feel passionate about.
Right.
But it has to be something I really enjoy and feel passionate about. There were things I said yes to that looking back, I'm like, ugh, I didn't have to say yes to that. Yeah. That was dumb. I didn't enjoy myself. Or maybe it felt like I was enjoying myself for a few minutes, but overall it wasn't worth it.
Right.
So those are good lessons to have for the next year. And I think just keeping in mind, like not letting go of those things that sustain me and that are important and just taking time to acknowledge how much I'm doing. I think I need to do that more.
Yeah.
So.
No, you are doing a ton. I acknowledge it.
Thank you.
Well, so I did the same thing, although I made my list separate from my calendar, I think because I have so many things in my calendar that just represent day-to-day parenting life.
Right.
So what I did is I picked out travel and visitors to our house. So like house guests, travels, and those types of things. So I have like one or two per month, but it'll be kind of the same. Kind of the same flow. So in January, we went to Disneyland and California Adventure as a family, and it was during an epic rainstorm. We made it through the Disney day without rain, and then
I remember that.
Yeah. So Violet's birthday is in January, and I always give my kids the choice to do a Disney day instead of a party, and I sort of encourage it, quite honestly, but they get to choose. So that was fun. I mean, I've said it a million times, but we're just getting to the point where those types of family days are really fun. And like, there's no strollers, nobody, you know, it's just like, it's just the five of us, which is a really cool place to be. At the end of January, Brian and I went to Key West to spread Brian's dad's ashes. He passed almost 2 years ago now, but it was from March 2016 to January of 2017 to get this big family group together to spread his ashes over Key West. And Key West is about as far as you can get from where I live. It is like epically far because you have to fly to Miami and then drive. But it was a really, really, have you ever been to Key West, Megan?
No, I have not.
It's a really, really...
I've,
cool place.
I want to go, though. I've looked at it. And
it has elements of Florida, awesome. But then it has this kind of like southern, almost New Orleansy feel.
And then almost like an old school feel to it as
very
well.
Very old, like super historical. We did a historic tour. That was my second time there. It is a really, really, so it was like this crazy trip where we felt so, we did a red eye. It was like this epically long. I think we traveled. That. The total travel time was like 28 hours for like 36 hours there. It was insane, but a really good time with family and family friends there. In February, you and Clara came to visit. We kind of talked about that. My birthday's in February. It was not quite the milestone that yours was. And then we also did a day trip up to the snow in the mountains in Southern California with our kids. And we just did sledding. We did not do ski yet. But it was really fun for all those same reasons. Just, you know, everybody can hang. The kids thought it was so fun because my kids are not ever in the snow. Right. So that was really fun. In March, I went to Chicago in early March to see my college friend Allison and her new baby. And that was kind of one of the,
that was that long ago. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Yeah. So Annabelle was born in February. So she's almost a year. And that was really fun. That was one of the first times I got to go like be the fun helper with a new baby, which they didn't even need my help. They were just rock stars. So we just sat around and watched TV and held a baby, which was awesome. In April, we took our family spring break and we went up to Portland, where Brian and I both have grandmothers who are still alive and they both randomly live in Oregon, which is weird because Brian's entire family is from Chicago and New England. He doesn't have any Oregon people except his grandmother randomly ended up there. And so we were able to see both of our grandmas, so our kids' great grandmas and some other family in April. And Oregon is where like my whole extended family's from. So that was fun. And then when we came back, we got a puppy. So that was April.
So that took up a couple of months of your life. And
so,
you know,
that's the reason you blame him for all my insanity. I made note of our podcast launches in here because this is directly related to at least my, bandwidth and mental health. So we relaunched the Home Hour in April, which was sort of the first in this like more recent expansion of Life Listened. That was April. In May, you and I went to Orlando for Mom 2.0 and went to the Iris Awards and saw a lot of our wonderful blogging friends. And we also had some, like you said, some really good business conversations with each other, but also with potential future podcast hosts.
Some of whom
and like,
became hosts.
Yeah, it was sort of like the conference where we were like, okay, we've been saying that we are the Life Listened Podcast Network for 6 months.
Now we're really going
to
do it.
But now we're going to tell other people and like have to walk the talk and give out business cards. So that was kind of pivotal. It was a really fun, I feel like that was my most fun Mom 2.0 for a variety of reasons. I wasn't as stressed about leaving my kids because that's gotten a lot easier. It was just really fun, I felt. Later in May, Brian and I went up to see a Cubs game in Los Angeles and we spent the night up there. That was the first time we got a babysitter overnight for our kids. So just put that in the column of getting easier to kind of get away for the night and, you know, not have to have my parents make a big drive down here to watch the kids for a night.
Right.
So that was fun. In June, the kids were done with school at the very beginning of June. I want to say they got out June 1st, which is also Reed's birthday. And then we came up here to Santa Barbara. Actually, the two older kids went up on their own. So that was kind of fun, like a week at the grandparents without us, which was kind of fun.
Right.
We also had some good friends from Arizona come visit us in June. So all of our Arizona friends tend to come to California in the summer. So that's always really fun. June and July, we have all these fun visitors of people we were really close to when we lived there. And they all get out of the heat and come to the beach. So.
Right.
And then late June, July, we did our vacation in Tahoe at the house that my parents have. They have shared it. They don't own it themselves, but they actually sold that house this year. So no more Tahoe, no more trips to that place in Tahoe.
Aww.
For our family. I know it was.
I was hoping to get to visit that place.
I know
sometime.
It's such an amazing place. And everyone who's ever seen me post pictures of there, it's kind of like the one time of year where I'm like unapologetically braggy about the pictures because it's so pretty
it's
up
so
there.
Ridiculous.
And
it's
just the house is beautiful, but the area, the development the house is in is beautiful. It's ridiculous. So it was a good decision for my parents. And actually, we talk about being able to do family vacations in different places now. I think this having this house, they always felt like they had to go there. Like that was where they went. It's really hard to get to. they don't ski anymore because a lot of people have houses up there because of the winter and the ski, and they weren't using it for. So there's anyway, there's a lot of reasons, but that will have been our last Tahoe vacation in the summer. And then I came.
Unless you get a place in Tahoe.
Yeah, but it won't be there. It's not in our price range. Then I came to see you for your 40th. That was super fun. I feel like looking at this that like I don't know what happened from like March to July. I feel like April, May, June just must have flown. Because I have a good memory of like from July to now, but like I don't know what happened in the first half. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. I came to see you in the network. We launched Make Light at the very end of July with Karen Walren. So then that was like starting to ramp up with the network. In August, we went up to Santa Barbara again before school started. The kids started school. And then we had that crazy week where, so my kids started school. You came to visit. We did our live event. And we went to Podcast Movement all in the same week. And I remember that.
In like three days. I wasn't even there very long.
No. And I remember actually that feeling super stressful. I'm just going to be honest. In particular, because I feel like my kids starting school is a very like mom. I like to feel sort of momish that week. I'm packing the lunches and making sure everything's ready. And, you know, it's been a transition for me to work a lot more anyway. It's already been like a healthy tension of like, how much am I working? How much am I momming? But that week was like, I had like a hugely demanding work week and it was my kids' first days of school. So I was trying to figure out rides for them. And like, it just, I just remember feeling like this is like too much. There's too much happening at once, but we got through it. Our live event was really fun. I think you and I would both do things differently if we did another one. Namely,
but it was our first.
Yes, it was our first. And the people who came were amazing. Like the whole experience was amazing. I think we would just outsource more, like not do all of it ourselves. At the end of August, I went to my sister's baby shower in Denver. September was pretty like calm and homey. We had some friends come down and visit us, some friends who don't have kids. So they came out and we went out and that was really fun. And then we repiped our house, which was like the most construction I've ever had done on my house. I haven't never done a remodel or anything. So it was a little taste of that, which was kind of challenging. And of course we all got the stomach flu during that, which is typical.
Great.
Selfie launched on the Life Listen Network at the end of September. October, Brian and I and Allegra took a really fun trip to DC for a friend's wedding. That was the first time we've ever traveled with one of our kids, and that was really fun. And then my niece was born. My sister had her baby in October. My mother-in-law came out to visit for Halloween. October is always really festive. Brian's birthday is around Halloween, and we usually have my mother-in-law visit. And somewhere in there, we launched Crunchy Cocktail Hour and Why Partisan on the Life Listened Network. So if you're keeping track at home, we launched three shows in, I think, 3.5 weeks on the network in late September and
that
October.
That is insane.
It's really insane.
How are we still alive?
And then, and that's why you said your November or your October was crazy. So, yeah, October was insane. November, at the beginning, I went to Denver to see my new little niece. And then I feel like I want to say that schedule-wise, November and December have been a little less travel and a little less schedule-heavy. Like, my kids' activity schedules have been mellow. Like, Violet did soccer, but that was over. But I will say that the amount of work, like, just the amount of work that I do for our business was then increased in November and December. So November and December were good. I had a lot of days where, like, you know, Violet goes to preschool Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Those are my days where I pretty much have the whole school day to work 3 days a week. And November and December had a lot of days where there was nothing else on the calendar except so much on the to-do list. And I even remember leaving you messages like, okay, I'm home all day working, which is like really exciting for me because I don't have these other commitments. I can just focus. But the quantity of things that had to get done was a lot. So we had a lot to get done in November and December for the business.
We did.
But I feel like I didn't have quite as much personal travel or like other things going on. Also in December, Brian and I went to Salt Lake City for a concert, which was really, really fun. And also in December, I was sicker than I have been in years.
You were. Like you could barely talk.
But it was like the length of time. It was either the flu. We don't know. If it was either like influenza. I did get the flu shot this year. So it could have been that maybe made a little more mild or just a terrible respiratory virus. But I was sick for 2 weeks. Like and not wow. like no energy. So that was really challenging. Actually, the first half of my Christmas season, I felt like I was just battling to get through the day, but I feel better now. So I don't know. Good. That was rambly.
No, but that's how a year goes, huh?
Yeah.
So what have you learned?
What have I learned?
Is there anything you've taken out of this to take forward in 2018?
So one thing in looking at this is we traveled a lot this year, but we almost exclusively traveled separately. Like Brian and I did a lot of separate trips, and we did that kind of intentionally. We each had friends we wanted to go see, things we wanted to go do. And I've said it before on the show, it's just getting so much easier to leave the other parent and not feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you know, white knuckled. It's just getting a lot easier. The kids are in school more. So we kind of took advantage of that. And we did a lot of solo trips. I went to see you, he'd go see a friend. But I think for 2018, I really want to be intentional about our travel, either as a family, all five of us, or the two of us. When we travel, the two of us, we have to get coverage, and that's harder. So that's why it was easier to just go solo. But I really like how much we traveled. That's stuff that's not easy. It's not cheap. And I feel like we put in a lot of years to get to where it can be fun and easy to take off for the weekend. But the next
and
step,
the older your kids get, the easier it will be for you to find that coverage because
yes,
it won't be as complicated.
It's not as complicated. And already I felt like it was so much easier this year to rely on like friends picking up a kid after school and keeping them for a couple hours, where before that just felt, first of all, the kids weren't all in the same place. Now, two of the three are in the same school. Next fall, all three will be in the same school. So, like, just the simplifying of details. So, yeah, I would say for 2018, I like this amount of travel. It's more than in the past, but it was all fun stuff. I mean, almost all of it was really stuff we wanted to do. I would just like it to be a little bit more tipped toward the two of us or even all five of us going and doing stuff instead of always splitting up. Exercise really fell off the wagon for me in this fall too. And yeah. I don't have as much as you do on my calendar, but, what was saving me was that Aptiv app, which just at least got me out and doing like a walk jog with the dog or something. But you know, I don't have hugely high expectations for myself with exercise. I just feel like the older I get, the more it's just directly tied to everything, how well I sleep, what kind of eating choices I make. Yeah. It's just the precursor to everything.
I'm really stiff and sore.
Yes.
I haven't been working out. Like my flexibility has gone down quickly, really quickly.
Yeah.
Like it didn't take long for me to get creaky in a way that I'm not happy about. So definitely I want that to be a focus for me.
Yeah. We're so cliche. Exercise more. Right?
I know. We can do it.
So I'm curious. We had talked about picking like a word of the year, like everybody does. And I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you do that. But what are your thoughts in general on, I'm not asking like, what are your resolutions, but what is your general philosophy on like setting intentions for the new year?
Oh, no, I like doing that. But my natural rebellious tendencies make me then want to do something different. So I can't be too specific. Like if I say I'm going to do something really specific, I will immediately then decide not to do that thing.
Right.
I'm really weird that way. So words and things like that are a little more free flowing.
Uh-huh.
And that like I have been thinking that I'd really like to focus on what's really close to me. I think I've spent a lot of the last 10 years traveling, and which I love travel. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic. And things kind of outside of my reach that require a lot of effort and stuff. And there's really just like just last night, I mean, I live in a town of 10,000 people. Last night I was at a local restaurant and they were having like a holiday concert. I was there with one of my best friends, Missy, and then a couple of her neighbors that I know pretty well. I didn't know anybody else in this place. And I'm a regular at this place. I didn't know anyone in there. It was like a completely different group of people that I had never laid eyes on before. It was weird.
In your town, that's impressive.
You think you will just always see the same people.
Yeah.
And I really don't. And it just kind of reminded me that, you know, I'm single now, which is a really weird place to be. And I have some anxiety surrounding that, which makes me want to start like kind of casting my net far and wide to kind of see like what might be out there. And I just really, there's no reason to do that. Like, I just need to like focus on what's in front of me, do the things that make my little circle, my little world better, and then expand out from there. And I think I owe myself that right now. And that doesn't mean I don't do things and I'm not active, because that's always going to be me. But
yeah,
it could be simpler than I've sometimes made it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just over complicate things that don't need to be so complicated. Mm-hmm. And my friend Liz is about to have a baby in about a month. And she's the last, I think, going to be the last friend mm-hmm. in my peer group to have a baby. And I just want to hang out with Liz's baby. Like, yeah. I'm really looking forward to just kind of some quiet nights, sitting yeah. in a living room, watching a movie or something, and yeah. just being present and being here and not running all over the place like a crazy person. Yeah. So I don't know how you would sum that up into a word.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think it's worth thinking about. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think we can still ruminate on our words, but yeah. I really like everything that you just said. It's funny. I also resist resolutions and specific goals. And for my personality type, I think it's because I can be a little, I like to poke holes in everything and figure out how things could go wrong or like might not work, which makes right. me a good strategist. It makes me a good project planner because I can see a lot of potential outcomes and details. But it makes me have a hard time with resolutions because I tend to see them failing before they even get going and then not yeah. making them. Isn't that terrible?
You've already like troubleshot yeah. them before there's even trouble.
Yeah. So I'm not a yeah. good pie in the sky aspirations person, which is not great. This is not something I'm proud of. So I also like the word. Last year, around this time, I did actually write down a few goals or intentions. And so I'll have to revisit those and see how I did. That's unlike me. I don't even usually get that far of like writing. I have a weird aversion to all this New Year's stuff, which is kind of funny. So I don't have a word yet either, but I do like the concept of a word. I'm starting to more like to listen to podcasts and read other people's kind of intentions. I think for a long time when you're in like new mom phase, you just think, well, I don't even know like what next week is going to look like. I can't plan right. for a whole year of inspirational
right.
creativity.
And like, what if in 3 months, like the baby won't even yeah. sleep and I can't do that thing that I thought I was going right. to do or whatever.
Whereas now I do feel like I'm coming out of that and I do have the headspace to think, okay, what do I want for this year? So I'm right. more open to it than I have been in the past. And I do enjoy listening to conversations like this one, which hopefully our listeners have enjoyed as well, where just the fact of just taking an hour to think about it and look back and look ahead, maybe that's all you need. Maybe it doesn't have to fit into a word. Maybe it doesn't have to be broken yep. down into step-by-step goals, but just it's sort of like showing yourself that you're worth it to take that time to look back and look ahead, I think is a nice message anyway. Do you want to talk a little bit about your course that's coming up?
Yes.
Okay. Big dreams.
This is actually a great segue. So as you may know, if you've listened to recent episodes, I am teaching a course in January called Dream Seekers. So Dream Seekers is kind of like a hybrid class and coaching program. So if you want the accountability of a group, the community of a group, and some structured activities that are going to help you work toward a dream, and specifically this is a career goal or a creative goal. So you either want to start a business, advance your business or your career, or maybe get into some kind of creative passion like writing, art, something like that. It's a little more in focused in than my last class was, which was a little more general. But this is a class where you've got sort of the aspects of a class, but you've also got one-on-one coaching with me.
Awesome.
And you get to kind of take part in some group coaching with the group as well, which can be really great because people will ask questions you didn't even know that you had,
yeah.
and to hear their questions get answered and their concerns to kind of get workshopped can be really, really helpful. It is focused on the needs of a busy mom. So while I will always encourage you and cheerlead and not coddle, I also am great about understanding the juggle and
yeah.
to take those family priorities into account and like what your biggest priority is at this moment is totally okay. So you can be coming into this at many different levels, like from I'm ready to hit the ground running right now to like I am building the foundation
yeah.
for doing this at some point. So the class is really meant to launch you into action, but it's not going to be something like, we're not going to predetermine for you what success looks like. You really get to define that yourself. And there's also check-ins after the course is over, which is a great thing for accountability. So
yeah.
if you are worried that you'll finish the course and then not follow through, I will be checking in with you.
I love it.
6 weeks after the course ends, privately and in the group.
And
so,
publicly.
Can I say
something else about the group?
Sure.
A group aspect? I have found it, you know, I took a writing class from you. That's how we met a million years ago. And you were teaching a group class online. But what I didn't anticipate from participating in a group experience like that was how connected I would feel to other people's big dreams, whether they were launching a business or like quitting their job to pursue a creative passion. And that lasts forever, really. I mean,
you still are, you're still friends with many people from that course.
Yeah.
Aren't
and you find,
I am too.
Yeah. And you find yourself kind of rooting for them because you were around at that very vulnerable time of like when they were questioning, like, should the name of my business be this or this? Like, you kind of feel like you were on the ground or behind the scenes. And then you times that by an entire group and you have people who are rooting for you in the same way. There's a very powerful kind of, like incubators are the word I was thinking about. Yeah. Very Silicon Valley word. But that kind of incubation aspect of a class like this, it's very hard to quantify that or like or explain how that might directly benefit you. But I have benefited from it so many times over the years. And I think that's just worth mentioning because, of course, you're going to get the coaching and the really good, you know, road or building blocks to build out whatever your dream is. But the experience of being surrounded by other people in that same place and then getting to follow their journey because maybe you're Facebook friends with them or you follow their business online. It's just a really cool. It's very cool, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that course in particular, there are so many people that we still stay connected to whose careers I actively follow. And it's so funny that that was 6 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
And we've all gone in very different directions.
Yeah, but there might not be the freelance writers that you were trying to teach us to be, that you taught us to be. I mean, mostly it was like magazine writing and professional blogging. And almost nobody is doing that. But the things that we are doing and the ways that our careers have evolved from there, you'd never know the ways that that will benefit you. And we've all helped each other over the years and been cheerleaders. So it's a very cool aspect. So
it is very, very cool. So if you are interested in Dream Seekers, I am offering more than a 20% discount to the listeners of the Mom Hour.
If you
go to the link through themomhour.com, which will be at the show notes. And I think there's something in the sidebar about it as well. So just go to episode 136 and you'll find the link there. Just to kind of recap. This is not a class only for aspiring writers and podcasters, but if you're an aspiring writer or podcaster, you might be particularly interested in my advice on that, on those topics. But it's for all dreamers who want to be doers. So, you know, anything that you, if you have an idea and it's just a little bud of an idea, or you have an idea that's a little more well-formed, wherever you kind of are in the path, this class is highly personalized. So it's really kind of going to meet you where you are and take you to the next step, whatever that step is for you. And I know that step is different for every mom.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody, but I think it's definitely, if you have an idea and something you want to work on, regardless of where you are in that path, the class is going to be personalized to get you to the next step.
I love that. What's the registration deadline?
The registration deadline is January 8th. So it's coming up.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week. Okay. Yep. So we'll keep that link. We'll keep that link up until
then.
If
people have a question about it, can they email you? I'm putting you on the spot. Because I feel like this is one thing where it's like, oh, I think so, but I need to talk to Megan.
They can totally email me. And I think my email is actually on the course
that page. Okay, we'll throw it in the show notes too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you can always email me and ask me questions. I love questions because sometimes, you know, I don't want anyone to sign up for the class who isn't sure it's for them.
Right.
So it's just kind of like, let's figure out if this is a good fit. And if not, no harm, no foul.
Yeah,
so I would
totally
love to hear from people. Anybody who wants to send me a message, that would be great.
Awesome. Well, Happy New Year, guys. I would love to hear from listeners about what your word or intentions or New Year reflections are like. So hit us up on social media. Come find us and follow us. Please continue to leave us reviews wherever you get your podcast. It's so helpful.
It really can
be one of your New Year's resolutions is to leave all the podcasters that you listen to glowing reviews. It helps all
great.
Of us.
That is a great resolution, actually.
It is. Put it on your list. Okay, guys. Well, we will be back with you next week, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Megan here. Sarah and I would absolutely love it if you would hit pause right now, like right where you're listening, and leave the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, this is one of the biggest ways you can thank us, and it really only takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, you can navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So when you're in the episode you're listening to right now, click where it says the Mom Hour just above the play button, and then scroll all the way to the bottom, and you will see the ratings and reviews. We would love if you would leave us one as well. Thank you so much for listening. Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Teas Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know, I am fan number one of the Teas Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for the Teas Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to theteasmade.com to find all the episodes.